You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
If you want a lot of Ben Simmons talk, and many of you, I think, today are talking about Ben Simmons, you will get it in the Local Hour podcast-only form. Pardon my voice. But I wanted to start, Stugatz, with the Utah Jazz because I found what happened to them before the weekend started to be super interesting, because all year long, they were a great team that was doubted. They're a great team that you're only used to seeing lose at the end, whether it's John Stockton, Karl Malone, whatever history it is they bring into a series, you're never expecting them to win the championship at the end. And it's not even fair to them, right? Because
no, it's not, because those teams with Stockton and Malone, a bunch of guys did not win championships merely because Michael Jordan was playing during their time, and those were two of the guys, and that was one of the teams.
But to hold Karl Malone and John Stockton against Donovan Mitchell is a silly exercise. It's a totally different time thing team. But the thing that I found interesting, as we found the entire last 10 years of basketball fascinating, and as sports radio is built on, this coach, did the game pass him by at some point? This legend, we criticize everyone, did the game pass him by? And largely that criticism is almost always flimsy or stupid. But when a game evolves so much that you have suddenly the realization, my three-time defensive player of the year that is a building block for everything I do in the regular season and is a source for why it is I'm good in the regular season, can be minus 24 in an elimination game and needs to be taken out of the game,
right,
in a way that is super obvious and should get Quinn Snyder fired. But what you saw from Doc Rivers and Quinn Snyder is basically, this is the blueprint that got me here, and I'm going to dance with the, you know, that saying. I'm going to dance right with what brought me here. I'm going to trust what it is that I have. Even if it seems obvious to everyone, I need to get Simmons out of the game. I need to get Gobert out of the game. Both coaches stayed entrenched like, no, these are the best players that I have. This is where my money is being spent. I'm not taking them out of the game. And next thing you know, Terrence Mann, he's not that good. It's a nice story.
It's a great story.
It's just wide open threes because he needs to be out of the game in a way that's obvious. When they put 5 3-point shooters out there, Rudy Gobert can't play.
And that's what the Clippers did. And Kawhi's hurt as well. And so it was just a bad loss for Utah. I thought Utah was going to win that series. I'm surprised they did not win that series. But you're right. Gobert played 42 minutes. And if you're Quinn Snyder, you have to do something in game there. You just have to make an adjustment and realize that guy's not going to work. And he's not going to work against Terrence Mann for whatever reason. And he never took him off Terrence Mann.
But Stugatz, think about that for a second. Think about what it is that you're saying there. Your structural blueprint is around a defensive player of the year that has quickly become a dinosaur the moment that you get to the playoff and he's got the worst plus minus on the court and he's making a superstar out of a guy who's not a superstar simply because that guy is taking practice gym jumpers because the game has evolved beyond what is your structural centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk some about what it is that happened there because I found really interesting, Stugatz, in three different series. In that series, Kawhi goes out, Paul George reinvents himself.
Yeah.
You saw yesterday, Devin Booker, first triple-double with Chris Paul out. You saw Durant all of a sudden gets more respect from Stugatz because everyone's hurt. And I don't think those guys are actually stepping up. I think their teams are getting slightly worse and their numbers are getting slightly better because their usage rates and they don't have to share the ball with another superstar. So Paul George is in a better position if he's allowed to be the guy who is always with the ball. Your team's going to be lesser.
Right. But we question whether or not Paul George could be the second guy on a team and win an NBA championship. He was the first guy with Reggie Jackson and Terrence Mann.
But what I'm telling you is it is harder to get the numbers and the reputation as the second guy.
You're right.
It is usage rate. What you just saw from Durant, the reason you just saw unprecedented stuff from Durant is why? There was no one there to get the stats from him. Harden couldn't get past anybody. Stugatz, it was almost weird to watch James Harden play that way, where he simply couldn't blow past anybody. He couldn't go get anything at the rim because his hamstring wouldn't let him. And so what ends up happening, Durant gets what you want from him, which is go be a superstar who carries the team. Oh, and also be a superstar who's out in the second round because you lifted all you could lift, but your team's not actually as good when you're playing that way, when you don't have people to share the load who are almost as good as you are.
Yeah, but he almost pulled it off by himself. I'm not saying that Kevin Durant doesn't need help. I'm saying he had the proper amount of help in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. Like, that's all I've ever said, Dan. He obviously, every superstar, even LeBron James, even Michael Jordan, we'll talk to Scottie Pippen later today. I mean, talking about being a number two guy, right? But every guy needs a superstar. It was just nice to see Durant put a team on his back because, Dan, that's what he's capable of. That every single night.
It's not all you've ever said. Well, and
it kind of is.
No, here's Mike Schur. He is asking because he's on the edge of his seat. He's saying, this will be fascinating for Stugatz. His Durant takes are A, he should have stayed in OKC and won a championship by himself. That way he'd earn your respect. And B, his championships with super teams are worthless because he should do it by himself. Now Durant was on a super team with two other stars, but who were both hurt, and Durant did do it himself. Greatest Game 7 stat line in NBA history, and they still lost. I am on the edge of my seat waiting to hear how he stitches all of these inconsistencies together.
I've never respected Kevin Durant more than I do right now. More than I did right after that Game 7, Dan. That was breathtaking. That was amazing. The way he played in Games 5 and Game 7 was absolutely, that was some of the best basketball I've ever seen a player play. And that's all I've ever wanted to see Kevin Durant do. And so,
lose in the second round.
Well, Dan, yeah.
That's all you've ever wanted to see him do, lose in the second round.
But if James Harden doesn't have the hamstring or Kyrie doesn't have the ankle, we all know the Nets are still playing today. And they probably win the NBA championship. But it was nice at least for a couple of nights. I'm telling you, I had more respect for Kevin Durant after losing that Game 7 than I did after any win he had with the Golden State Warriors. I'm telling you, I did. In fact, I'm thinking about giving him back a championship.
What?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay.
It's just a thought, okay? That's how good he was in Game 5. That's how good he was in Game 7. He was out there pretty much by himself, and he was amazing and almost beat a really, really good Milwaukee Bucks team.
That's always been your standard, the almost beating somebody in the second round.
Listen, the almost winning by yourself sometimes, Dan, has more value to me than winning a championship with a bunch of superstars. You know what I mean? Figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Figure it out.
Well, okay. You didn't answer yes. I assume that was a no.
Do you know what I mean? Figure it out.
Yeah.
So explain to me what you want me to figure out exactly.
Sometimes, Dan,
give me all the other times that's so. It's going to be Damian Lillard and who else? Anyone else? Because you don't celebrate
Michael
losers.
Jordan first season against the Celtics. That was crazy impressive. They lost, but it felt like he won everything that night. You know, he had 63 points, I think, in the Boston Garden. I mean, there's other examples. But, Dan, when you take Kevin Durant and that kind of talent and you put it alongside Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, you know, it's not that impressive. But when you're out there doing it with Jeff Bleeping Green, pretty damn impressive.
Losing in the second round.
I mean, yeah, but he won. I mean.
But he didn't.
I guarantee you, Kevin Durant has never felt this type of love. You ask Kevin Durant if he feels like he won or lost. Seriously. Because I'm telling you, deep down inside, Dan, in places he doesn't talk about at cocktail parties, he's going to tell you, I'm telling you right now, hey, that felt great. Everyone celebrated me for three consecutive nights. I was out there. Wasn't my fault. Wasn't KD's fault. It was everyone else's fault. It felt great. It felt like he won.
He said otherwise.
Big winner.
He did say the opposite. He said the opposite.
It felt good, right?
Okay, but yeah,
he hit the shot to win the game too. If it wasn't for his toe, they would have won that game. He won that game for them.
Big toes.
That was a win.
Yeah,
those feet are unbelievably large.
Yeah,
he's got size 17 feet. He wears a size 18 sneaker because he thinks that's more comfortable to play in.
Yeah,
if he had worn a shoe size that was the correct shoe size of 17, I think he ends Milwaukee's season.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Should we be counting shots from where the feet are or from where the shot is taken? Right? Because if his arms are further back,
that's a good point.
Let's say he was a size 10, right? He's hitting that 6-7 inches behind the line if he's a size 10, right? Just based on where the ball was released. That's where it should count from, not where the tips of his toes are.
Billy,
he's punished.
Can I tell you how much I appreciate you helping us with the visual aid pantomime there of you taking a Durant jumper, going back in your chair and taking a Durant jumper back there? I really enjoyed. So you're saying it shouldn't be where your feet are. It should be where your hands are and where your arms are. Okay, very good.
He's taking his headphones off now, and now he's doing a fadeaway, it looks like.
Hit the fan with a racquetball.
I mean, Dwayne Wade did hit a game-winning three-pointer. He leapt from the three-point line, and he ended up releasing the shot from the top of the key.
That feels like cheating.
I think my favorite moment, Stu Gatz, in all of these press conferences and all of these Zoom conferences afterward was Donovan Mitchell, his season over. He sits in the chair, and he is handed the box score for the game. And twice he repeats something before it's actually started where he's looking at it and he's like, and he's looking at Terrence Mann's stat line clearly. And he says, he mutters under his breath, he missed six shots. He says it twice because he's not sure his math is right. He's like, wait a minute, he shot that much. We're out there with this big giant ogre in the middle of our defense. starts with those long arms. Our whole thing is built around this three-time defensive player of the year.
He was better than Kawhi.
He gave everyone the virus, touching a bunch of microphones. Gobert is this thing that we've built around, and Terrence Mann missed six shots. And one of the other things that I enjoyed, what an assassin this was to have this in your life if you're Quinn Snyder. We've marveled over the years at the way that the relationship he has with Lip Balm. It's aggressive. It's an aggressive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of rubs his lips the way that someone cocainey might rub their face. We see a lot of this in Miami where you're sort of, it's a super aggressive way to apply lip balm. But what I loved is a video where I think it's an assistant coach because it's just an arm with what looks like a suit on it, reaches out with balm. He aggressively grabs it, wipes his lips with it, never says thank you. Because that's Quinn Snyder's life. Somebody just appears with some lip balm and you don't even have to thank them for it. They just know that their job is to come and apply, come and help you not have dry lips.
While setting up his defense, he doesn't have the 8/10 of a second to thank the assistant coach for the lip balm.
At some point there, they were trying to make his life very efficient so that he would have the time to think. Enough time. Hey, I need to get this ogre out of the game so Terrence Mann doesn't end my season.
He's 15 to 21.
Utah's great all season, and I do wonder, Stugatz, if they have to go home at the end of that and be like, well, wait a minute. Like, we've got something structurally wrong, because if Terrence Mann can do it to us, wait till we face a team that realizes, hey, we've got 5 3-point shooters who aren't Terrence Mann.
But the amazing thing about playoff basketball is that last night the Philadelphia 76ers would have been better off playing George Hill than Ben Simmons. The Utah Jazz would have been better off playing Derek Favors or Royce O'Neal as opposed to Rudy Gobert because of the specific way that the game plays out.
But if you're the coach getting paid all that money, you have to do it. I mean, you can't stick to the game plan. It's playoff
Stugatz,
time.
It's very easy. I get it. Stugatz, you win all arguments because they lost. I also understand, Stugatz, imagine if you do it and lose.
Right.
And people are wondering, because Popovich did it. He took Tim Duncan out of a game, and then there was a rebound, and they lost the championship. And Popovich got crushed for, what the hell are you doing, Popovich? If you lose, Stugatz, you get to win all the arguments the next day about what the coach should have done.
Right.
You're asking for a specific set of ballsiness. Like, you're asking for something. Take one of your best money guys. You're giving the max to that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Take him out and just put in random guy. Because the structural blueprint is broken because you've given money to a guy, because Whittingham's absolutely right. You put anyone else in that game, they were up by 20-something points at the half.
Right.
They lost by a dozen, the Utah Jazz.
But a coach's job, Dan, I understand what you're saying, is to give his team the best opportunity to win the game. And if that means sitting Rudy Gobert, paying him a lot of money, then that's what it means for that specific game. And you tell Rudy that up front, hey, the matchups might not work out for you tonight. I might have to sit you. You might only play 20 to 25 minutes.
You are absolutely correct. And every time that an athlete complains about politics ruining their career, that's the reason right there. Because the organization structurally has paid someone else in that spot to be valuable. And the athlete complaining about politics is saying, well, on merit, I should have gotten the opportunity. And no, the opportunity goes to your highest paid employees. Like, that is... And yes, I would love to see coaches that are so brave with their leadership that they would say, bleep it. I don't care what my organization is paying anyone. I don't care what is said to be my value. I don't care what got me here. I'm going to now go Derek Favors. You're asking for something that not a lot of coaches are going to do.
Well, I'm asking coaches who I believe have job security. Like, I think Quinn Snyder has some job security there. I don't think he's getting fired. And Doc Rivers.
After that, what happened in that game, Stugatz, was so overt and so obvious that it's a fireable offense to take a look at what happened there. And you kept riding a guy where you're allowing a team to end your season taking practice gym jumpers.
Right. But Dan, these coaches did the easy thing and they're still being criticized. So you're saying, hey, make that decision. It doesn't work out. You're going to get criticized. They get criticized either way.
But I'm not talking. You can't make any decisions with the fear of criticism, because once you lose, it doesn't matter what anyone else is saying in terms of criticism. I'm simply talking about how difficult it is to go against trusting the people who got you to where you are. I'm just talking about the managing of people. Never mind the organizational pressure of this is who we value. Please play the people that we are paying. I'm talking about the specifics of how you lose a locker room and Ben Simmons forever. If in a critical spot, or Rudy Gobert, a centerpiece, as a manager of people, if you tell everyone, hey, sorry, highest paid employee, sorry, got to sit you for the second half of our most important season, our most important game, because I don't trust you. And I'm going to tell everybody I don't trust you.
I think with the players, though, you actually gain equity. You do, because you're giving them the best chance to win, even while making the hard decision. I think with the fans, that's a tricky one. But with the players, they're saying, hey, coach is doing what he has to do. It's a better matchup for us.
But you're not applying your sensibilities to this. What if somebody were to come in here and say, hey, Stugatz, the show's better without you. It's just better. We understand.
It would hurt.
But yeah. It's just better without you. Never. Sorry. Apologies. But everyone now knows it. Everyone in your locker room, everyone in your arena, everyone watching, the coach has now said, we understand we're paying you a lot of money, but we absolutely do not trust you here.
This is a game, one game, in which the matchups did not favor Rudy Gobert. So there are certain shows and conversations where I absolutely sit out on, because I know you're going to have a better conversation with someone else about the particular topic you're talking about. I do it all the time, Dan. I do, because I want to win championships.
You want to make money. What are you talking about?
Well, that too. But I mean, listen, when you're on certain topics and you're talking about certain things and you bring in, back at ESPN, it might have been Mina or Sarah Spain or Dominique or Bomani, I would get out of the way, because that conversation between the two of you is going to be far better than the one you and I would have about it. So I sit. That's what I do. I don't play 48 minutes that night. I give you 22. That's what I do. Small windows. Championships. We've won a few, Dan.
Team guy.
Yeah. Huh. Boxed you in.
You boxed me in.
But the amazing thing with these decisions is the specific decision to say, like, Ben Simmons, like, sit out tonight, because you're not only wrecking his value for future series, but you're kind of wrecking his value around the league right now. Him being bad also will probably wreck his trade value, but like, if Quinn Snyder takes out Rudy Gobert there, you're basically saying we can't win with you. And Stugatz, all the time your take on NBA basketball all year long with Brooklyn was they've got the best players, that basketball is a measurement of your best players. And if you go into a series analyzing Utah, you're saying, all right, it's Conley, Mitchell, and Gobert against Kawhi and Paul George, who's better? And you include Gobert in that conversation. Like, the idea that you wouldn't play your best players in basketball, of all sports, is kind of ludicrous.
But he gets to win all the arguments the moment Utah's season and Philadelphia's season ends in disappointment as a one seed. There is no rebuttal to that. Everyone gets to win arguing that the Utah Jazz and the Sixers should have done blank, because that hypothetical always wins. It never gets tested. The hypothetical, you have the losing example that has failed.
That's why I go to it.
And the other example is bulletproof. And I just say it's harder as a leader to do the things you're talking about. Otherwise, Doc Rivers or Quinn Snyder would have done them. That's the reason they didn't.
Don't lead, man. I mean, this is a life you signed up for. You signed up for a life of leadership. Do your job, your primary job as a coach is to, regardless of ego and all that stuff, give your team the best chance. That's it. Quinn Snyder did not do that. Doc Rivers did not do that. They should be ashamed of themselves. They really should. Show some courage.
It's what Stugatz gets to do today on the graves of everybody and for the rest of time. It's the wheelhouse for the rest of time. loser doesn't know what they're doing about anything, I get to be right. Why? Because they just lost. And no one will remember 6 months from now when I have a different take that runs counter to that take because they lost, and you get to win all arguments today.
You have to recognize when the Terrence Mann game is unfolding before your eyes, right?
No, you don't have to recognize it, but once it starts unfolding in front of your eyes, make an adjustment, for crying out loud.
Agreed. I do like the idea, though, of I do want you guys to just sort of rewind our lives, okay, 4 days. And I want Stugatz at a microphone saying the following before the game happens. Guys, I need you to understand that in tonight's game, Rudy Gobert has to go out because of Terrence Mann. I see it coming.
You got to prepare for all situations, Dan. In the event Terrence Mann has the game of his life, okay, I might have to take Rudy Gobert out. Only if Terrence Mann is 15 of 21.
Terrence Mann, who told us the story after that game of his phone being on 1% and him thinking about allowing the call that was going to invite him to a draft workout to go straight to voicemail, and he would have never gotten into the league. You have to see that coming. In an elimination game,
yep.
Donovan Mitchell muttering under his breath, he missed 6 shots. And you win today. There is no disputing. Utah's season is over. And what you have now in the Western Conference Finals is Clippers against the Suns. And I wanted to talk about something else that happened.
With no Kawhi, no Chris Paul.
That's correct.
Oh, what a disaster.
It's not great. And I don't know that Suns Milwaukee is great for the league as a final series. But
Clippers Bucks, though, maybe.
Clippers Bucks might have some star power. But again, Suns Bucks, probably not great for the league. Suns, specifically, I'll say this again, would be maybe the most surprising champion in the history of the sport. But what I wanted to ask you about is there was a viral video of a fan, a Suns fan, at the end of the Nuggets series where there were two guys who had... Did you see this video of a fight in the stand, Stugatz, between a Suns fan and two Nuggets fans? The two Nuggets fans were standing above the Suns fan. The Suns fan grabs one of them by the shirt, by the neck of the shirt, and just starts wailing on both of them. And Devin Booker sent that fan, clearly won the fight. Not the kind of guy from looking at him that you would think might win the fight if you wanted to judge a book by its cover, but he really did a good job of fighting. Devin Booker sent him tickets to the game and a jersey, but that's not the part that I found fascinating. The part that I found fascinating is the guy who got his ass kicked decided to give an interview.
That a boy.
Like, I thought his decision making was bad when he got into the fight, but the giving of an interview where he appears to be wearing 3 or 4 watches. I'm not sure whether it was 3 or 4 watches.
Businessman, Dan, you need to know different time zones. What time is it? It's like at a fancy hotel.
Did you see the interview, Billy?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. He claims he did not get his ass kicked. Just a scratch.
I don't know that there's ever been a time where I have understood young people less than the granting of that interview. That you're, well, so you're
15
so,
minutes of fame,
so
Dan.
You're so interested in fame that you are going to sit down with your 4 watches and your scratched nose and your jeans hanging out, revealing your underwear, and you're going to give an interview in which on TikTok. On which you explain that you didn't get your ass kicked when we all saw you got your ass kicked.
You would be shocked the extremely minute things that go viral on TikTok that then turn people into like TikTok celebrities, Dan. Like I couldn't even explain it to you if I tried. That's what it is now.
What did you make of his general aesthetic? Can you guys please help me with, because I feel older all the time around here, but I'm watching this interview and I'm thinking to myself, I don't believe in the history of covering sports I've ever seen someone at the center of this kind of shame say, you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to sit down and give an interview, in which I deny that I got my ass kicked. when we all saw you get pulled down by your shirt and just hit in the face again and again without rebuttal. It's not something I've seen before.
I'm not an expert on this, but I feel like he would describe his look as having a lot of drip. You know, he's got one of those like purses things, like a satchel that's like in front of him.
So I found you saw a clip and you retweeted the clip online. There's a full 8.5 minute YouTube video of this fan giving an interview. And you're right, his underpants are hanging out from his pants. He's got like three watches on one wrist and one on the other. Wow. He's smoking a blunt at the beginning of the interview, it would appear. I mean, this guy...
He's got a lot to his look. There is... I don't mean to sound like Bill Cosby, but pull your pants up.
I wouldn't follow the Cosby model.
Yeah. Oh.
Pull your pants up! You're giving an important interview on TikTok. You're where? Why, Jessica, why is your head in your hands right now? Is it because he didn't pull his pants
no,
up?
No, it's because of referencing Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm right.
It's all of it, Dan. It's
generally
honestly,
not a good time to be referencing Bill Cosby.
Respectability but, politics.
By there. The way, the description on the YouTube video does not identify his name. It identifies him as Marty in 4, viral Nuggets fan, parenthetically.
Marty in 4.
Marty in 4.
Is it because the Suns fan was holding up four fingers to show the Nuggets were going to be eliminated in 4 games? So you guys aren't as you guys are not at the same kind of loss I am for the entire thing that guy was doing after getting his ass kicked. And just leaning into, with drip, as Chris Cody said, the idea of I'm going to get my fame or my infamy. It doesn't matter how I get it, even if it means everyone laughing at me because I'm wearing 3 watches.
He's wearing a satchel on set, and his lavalier mic is clipped to his satchel.
That's funny.
Like,
that's
take
funny.
Your bag off before you do an interview.
It worked for Mark Sanchez, right? What's he most famous for? Butt fumble.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's all over the place now.
This one doesn't handsome work guy. For me. This is not good pub for this guy.
Wow. This is where Chris Cody draws the line.
Really? You'll do anything for
attention.
You got
to disappear for a few weeks if you're this guy.
You got to go into hiding. I'm not sure, by the way, Billy, that what you say is so. It worked out for Mark Sanchez. Like,
I mean,
what, that he got jobs?
Don't get up sometimes.
Okay, Matt, that is not a ringing success story. I mean, Matt Leinart, it has worked out for Matt Leinart. Like, you get a few TV appearances, that's the definition of something working out. You just
if
get
you
some-
asked Matt Leinart, would you take the butt fumble? I think he'd say yes. I think Matt Leinart would say yes.
I think he would too. I mean, when you think of Matt Leinart, what do you think of?
I think of USC.
Right. But when you think of Mark Sanchez, what do you think of?
But that's all I think of.
I think Orlovsky would take the butt fumble too.
No, Orlovsky's already got a thing. He ran out of the end zone. That's his thing.
I know. I think he'd take the butt fumble.
Oh, so you're
over
saying
that.
We're doing comparison shopping on running out of the end zone versus butt fumble.
It's an upgrade. Yeah.
I think if the standard is get on, get up sometimes, both of them have parlayed their thing into getting on, get up sometimes.
That can't be the standard, people.
Oh, it has to be.
Have a better standard. Come on. Come on. Standard can't be. How does one arrive at success? What do I have to do to get there? Let me put a satchel on. Let me put on 3 watches. Let me not pull up my pants. Someday, maybe I will get up. I will get on, get up sometimes. Can't be the standard. Do better.
Wednesdays is good on get up. I like get up.
I'm not saying you shouldn't like get up. I'm saying it can't be the standard on, hey, let me have national and international shame getting stuck in an offensive lineman's ass crack and fumbling because 10 years from now I will get on, get up.
Is that better or worse, though? Because Orlovsky gave up 2 points as opposed to the butt fumble where he just gave
up
possession.
No, it's better. It's better.
No, it was a touchdown, wasn't it?
No, it was not a touchdown.
It was a safety,
he ran out of the end zone, and it was a safety. He did not know the size.
Yeah, he gave up 2 points.
Yes, it was.
No, I mean the butt fumble wasn't it returned?
Oh yes,
for
I believe that was returned for
but
a
it is
touchdown.
Absolutely worse than,
a lot worse.
And what ended up happening after that?
But better,
Jessica. The math you're doing there is odd because I don't think people, when they're sort of looking at Orlovsky and Sanchez, there are saying, was it worth 7 points or 2 points? It's just shame that
minus 5 plus minus.
right. My plus minus five on shame.
5 points worse than.
So this is what happened headed into the tunnel as Mark Sanchez, who, as we've said, has shaken all this off and gotten on Get Up a couple of times. This is what was happening around him as the Jets ran to the tunnel at halftime, down 34-0 at home to the Patriots. Quinn Snyder has to say thank you, doesn't he?
Yes.
What kind of monster doesn't say thank you when someone helpfully offers you some lip balm that also, you aggressively grab?
To question the technique on the lip balm, I feel like you're doing more damage to your lips by rubbing it that aggressively than the lip balm will cover.
Wow. A shocking take from you. Perhaps you too will one day sometimes get on Get Up. You can carve out that lane for yourself.
Are we sure that Quinn Snyder has lips?
Put it on the poll.
It's a great question.
Put it on the poll, Billy. Are you sure that Quinn Snyder has lips?
I'm still stuck on Billy praising Wednesdays on Get Up.
Yeah. Like specifically Wednesday.
He was like, I love watching Wednesdays.
What's better about Wednesdays?
What's going on with Hump Day? Yeah.
I was gonna say Billy's praising Wednesdays. It's the only day we're not recording right now, so it's the only day he watches it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
What happens on Wednesdays, Billy?
It's just good. Wednesdays are good on Get Up. Have you guys not seen Wednesdays on Get Up?
No.
Tell us about it.
IYKYK. K-I-Y-K-Y.
I hate those. You know what I mean? When people do those on the internet, I don't like those. That's my take.
It's better than Billy's, which is just to throw that fish on our lap and give us nothing in the way of elaboration and just stare at us.
What is the acronym?
I love that on Get Up, we have it on in the televisions here. Like, day after, like, the NBA gave us so much this weekend, and we're still doing on a Get Up Monday. Overreaction, Tua Tagovailoa threw 5 interceptions in practice. Overreaction, underreaction.
No.
Ooh, which was it?
Yeah.
I believe Dan Graziano said it was an overreaction.
No way.
Magic Johnson is now on Get Up, and he is only saying super obvious things, correct? Like, that's what we're doing. Magic Johnson in studio, say obvious things.
I'd actually be interested in what it is that he's saying about Ben Simmons. I don't know if he is discussing that, but I'd be interested if Magic has anything enlightening on
why
Ben
would you think that Magic Johnson would
such
you
a
not have
point.
Enough experience?
It is such a
really?
Point.
You're wait. So let just help me understand what you're doing.
You're
staring at the television right now, and what you're waiting for is enlightenment. You are going to be sadly disappointed, my friend.
I did just see a pantomime left hook J, like a little baby hook from Magic there. So maybe he's saying that he needs to implement a little baby hook.
A little low post game?
I think Magic Johnson's advice to Ben Simmons would be as helpful as Shaq's, which is don't be afraid. Or I'll punch you in the face. That is, what were you looking for? Enlightenment or illumination from Magic Johnson? It seems like a bad idea when the guy is famous for only saying the most obvious of things and then smiling. It seems like you would get the opposite of whatever enlightenment is.
I have a question for Stugatz. Stugatz, how would you have felt about Doc if he would have pulled Ben Simmons and he wouldn't have played like the second half? And then they ask him why, and then he gives the exact same quote where he's like, I don't know if that's someone that could win a championship as a point guard.
I would have been okay with that. I mean, he's being honest, and he's giving his team the best chance, the best opportunity to win that series. That's what a coach is supposed to do. I think that should be the coach's chief responsibility.
You say that? I understand that you say that. But
easier said than done.
Even easier said than done. If I had said to you, Stugatz, before the series started, is there a way that the Sixers are given the best chance of winning by not playing Ben Simmons? Your answer would not have been yes. Stugatz. It wouldn't have been. Now, he's the worst free throw shooter in the history of the sport in the playoffs, statistically. But your answer simply, if I'd asked you after the Washington series,
right,
hey, Stugatz, is that what's the circumstance under which the best opportunity for the Sixers to win is don't play Ben Simmons? You're not saying, hey, for the first time ever in basketball, I'm going to see a player evaporate with his courage, and I'm going to see a guy who is scared and appear to be a coward in front of me. That's what I predict, and therefore they should just be playing anyone. George Hill would be fine.
No, but Dan, you're asking me before the series or before the game. It's hard to predict that, but once it's actually happening, you have to make the in-game adjustment. That's all I'm saying. When it's actually happening right in front of your face and the season's on the line, take the guy out. That simple.
Agreed. But you say it's that simple, and that's the part where I stop you. It's not that simple.
In, like, the flow of a game, it should be that simple. Hey, I'm the head coach. You're not playing well. Get out. You're hurting us more than you're helping us.
If it's that simple, why did two guys who ostensibly know more about coaching in the NBA than you do, Quinn Snyder and Doc Rivers, even though Doc Rivers has some real strong blemishes on his resume, if it's that simple that afterward Doc Rivers can be asked, is he a championship point guard? And he says, I don't know. If it's that simple, why did they not do it?
It's the difficult thing to do, obviously.
But then why are you saying it's simple?
Because, Dan, it should be that simple. Doc Rivers is in his first season as the Sixers coach. He has job security. He's not going anywhere. And when you're in the game, you have to make that adjustment. I'm not saying it's easy, but you have to pull Ben aside and say, hey, this is why I'm doing it.
You're not giving us a good chance. Though. You're saying it's simple.
Dan, it should be easy for Doc Rivers. I'm not saying, like, I would sit here and do it. Like, you have to manage whatever it is you're saying to Ben Simmons on the front end and explain to him why it is you're doing it, and then just do it and don't worry about what happens after the game. Your season's over.
Again, Stugatz, I will say, you get to win all the arguments as it relates to the results of Utah and the Sixers. But what I'm telling you is, to my untrained amateur eye compared to these coaches, I'm watching as Rudy Gobert keeps getting stuck under the basket and Terrence Mann keeps killing them with jumpers. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's not a change here. There's nothing changing here. They are continuing to do this thing where they rely on their best players, which is a pretty safe thing to do throughout the history of that sport, until it evolves so quickly right in front of your eyes that we all notice at the same time. Wait a minute. The three-time defensive player of the year is useless in this situation. So useless that a nobody is about to end their season. And the coach, who's allegedly an expert in these matters, can't pull the trigger on it. Won't pull the trigger on it. He's watching the same thing I am, which is these are open jumpers that every guy in this league can make from three now.
He did a terrible job. I mean, I'm sorry. He's a coward. What do you want from me?
Quinn Snyder's a coward?
Yeah, Dan, that's a terrible job. Your season is on the line. Rudy Gobert should not be guarding Terrence Mann. You have Joe Ingles on the bench. You have Clarkson on the bench. You have other guys on the bench who could fill that role. That's a terrible job by Quinn Snyder. But
these are organizational decisions. Like, Quinn Snyder's not making this decision independent of himself. If in this summer, let's say Daryl Morey wants to trade Ben Simmons, he was probably pissed off last night at Doc Rivers acknowledging that he might not be able to win a championship with him. He's got to try and trade him and get the most possible. And politically, there was a time early in the season when James Harden was asking out of Houston that there was a chance that Philly was going to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden, and there was some debate over whether or not they wanted to include him. Earlier this season, they were deciding maybe we don't want James Harden because we want to keep Ben Simmons. He's 24. We've got him under contract. So, like, these are kind of fireable offenses in a way all around, and if you're Daryl Morey, you want to preserve something so when you trade him for 60 cents on the dollar, it doesn't look so bad.
You're going to have a hard time throughout the history of that sport, Stugatz, finding anywhere in that sport examples for me of my second best guy don't want to play him in critical spots. Deep in the playoffs, you're not going
to... I mean, your second best guy is a guy who can't hit free throws and can't hit a three and is your primary ball handler.
It's Simmons and Gobert, and I'm telling you that you're asking for something it's easy to ask for in retrospect. I am not saying that they made the right decision. You get to win all the arguments today. You're going to have a hard time finding for me in the history of that sport in the playoffs any examples, and you got two here in Simmons and Gobert, where the best course of action is your second. I'm going to sit Pippen. I got to sit him. He's my second best guy. He's the guy I'm paying all the money. I'm sorry. The mismatches are such. Nope. Get off the court. I can't use you here. I'd rather have George Hill. I'd rather have Jordan Clarkson.
Right. I mean, I'm certain there are examples. I don't have them off the top of my head.
It's not
there
very
have
easy.
To be a few, though.
It's not very easy. And if you can find me outliers, it's still not very easy to find in that sport the examples of my second. Hell, look at what the Nets did with James Harden, who shouldn't have been out there. Like, he couldn't move. And the Nets are still playing him 40 goddamn minutes a game because... And he can't blow by anybody because he's your second best guy. And you're not going to trust Joe Harris because you saw what happened to Joe Harris when it was 111-111 and the best three-point shooter in the league had a wide open three when everyone's legs were dead because you trust your best guys in that sport. Like, throughout the history,
James Harden, I mean, you're comparing James Harden to Ben Simmons and Rudy Gobert. The threat of James Harden being out there is enough. Like, it just is.
Scott, you're making fun of Ben Simmons.
I mean, getting 22 points, James Harden.
But you're making fun. He was terrible in that series.
I know he was terrible, Scott. But the threat of him being out there is more important than Rudy Gobert being out there for the Jazz.
Before that series just played out, I had asked you, what's a better thing to bet on? Ben Simmons being good or injured James Harden being good? Healthy Ben Simmons or injured James Harden? Like, you're making these arguments, Stugatz, and I understand.
I think I take an injured James Harden. I mean,
that's what you're saying now because of what you just saw in that series. But I've never seen what I just saw in that series from Ben Simmons. And you can evidently predict when Ben Simmons is going to short circuit and when Terrence Mann is going to be better than Rudy Gobert.
Again, I'm not saying I could predict it. But when it happens, your job as a coach is to make an adjustment. No one can see it. No one can predict it. But when it happens, do something about it. Like, Ben Simmons ain't going to do anything about it. He's going to go out there and play and hide in a corner.
But if, Stugatz, if I said to you, ahead of a series between Utah and the Clippers, you're facing Kawhi, you're facing Paul George, and if I offered you the choice, this series comes down to whether Terrence Mann can beat you in a game, you'd be like, yeah, I'll take those odds. The whole thing is picking on weaknesses. That's what Gobert and Simmons are. In theory, Terrence Mann should be a weakness to the Clippers.
Okay.
And like, even if it's happening for 24 minutes, do you expect it to happen for 48? Like, I think at some point you got to make a choice, which is, yeah, Terrence Mann's going to beat me.
You tell me that before the series, and of course I'm going to take my chances. But when he's actually beating me, I have to make an adjustment.
You say that, and I understand why you're saying that, and I thought this during the Nets game, as Blake Griffin kept getting these wide-open threes, I thought to myself, Milwaukee will live with their season ending if Blake Griffin hits 8 threes. And then Stugatz will come on the next day and say, you got to make an adjustment. You can't let Blake Griffin beat you on threes. And you will win the argument. But I'm watching Blake Griffin take threes from the top of the key. He made a couple. And I'm like, and if Milwaukee loses that way, they will absolutely lose. They will take that result. And all the criticism that endures in the offseason, if the way they lose is betting on the probabilities that Blake Griffin will stop hitting those threes. And their season ended betting that Terrence Mann wasn't going to beat them. I can't.
He beat him.
He absolutely did.
Bad bet.
It is a bad bet, and it's why Stugatz will win forevermore after the team has lost, because then he comes in the next day and says, well, Kevin Durant, I was with him all along. I was right about Kevin
Durant. He now knows that.
Kevin Durant now goes into the offseason knowing, look at how happy he's. Look at Stugatz leaning in his chair.
Helping a friend out, man.
Yes, belly out. I was his wingman throughout. I never doubted you, Kevin.
I love that the whole specter of the Durant conversation is Durant is somehow in the chase of Stugatz's respect.
It is great.
There's better than championships. Stugatz's respect.
But you know what's funny about that, Whittingham, is he is not Stugatz actually, but the Twitter egg representing Stugatz. It is. It's why he left Golden State. The Golden State would have been winning championships for a decade. Instead, he decides, you know what? I need to leave somewhere else. And just so Stugatz doesn't think it's for him, I'm going to go to Brooklyn just to bother him. But it's for Stugatz. I'm not going to go to the Knicks. Put this on the poll as well, Billy, please, at Lebatard Show. What's more embarrassing, getting swept in the playoffs or winning one game in the playoffs and celebrating in the streets?
Closing down traffic in New York City.
We did that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.